Just in and so good. Thousands of summer deals at your Nordstrom Rack store. Save up to 60% on new arrivals from Vince, Rag & Bone, Adidas, Joe's, Marc Jacobs, and more. Great brands, great prices every day at Nordstrom Rack. But hurry for first dibs. Get your summer favorites up to 60% off at Nordstrom Rack today. Great brands, great prices. That's why you rack.
Your skin refuses to be defined by age. That's why Agency creates personalized anti-aging formulas that smooth fine lines, lighten dark spots, and improve the appearance of dark circles. Each formula is tailored to you and prescribed by a licensed dermatology provider. Formulas are customized with clinically proven ingredients like tretinoin, which is up to 20 times stronger than retinol. Get your first month free at withagency.com. That's withagency.com. $4.95 shipping and handling subject to consultation. Subscription required. Cancel anytime.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now, you're multitasking. But what if you could also be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. So multitask right now. Get your quote now at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What's your reaction when you see Myles Garrett in his Jurassic Park tank top playing basketball?
My reaction is I think one of those NBA teams should sign him to a 10-day contract. Yeah, he's a great athlete. That doesn't surprise me, seeing him move around. He knows this. I've told him this. I've told all of our players, listen, you got to stay in shape. You need to do some things that get your cardio going. You got to do it safely. And he's very, very well aware of that. But I do marvel at his athleticism.
So you didn't do like the Chiefs did a couple of years ago when we saw the video of Patrick Mahomes playing basketball when they told him, no, Patrick, no more basketball. You're fine with guys doing within reasonable limits what they need to do to stay in shape.
I think that's the key, within reasonable limits. They know not to go in some competitive game where they're going to turn an ankle or catch an elbow or those type of things.
For example, don't do this, Myles Garrett. Change of heart from Kevin Stefanski after seeing this video. Over and over and over again, the posterization.
I mean, that's amazing. That guy guarding him is no joke. That's pretty good defense. He gets up there pretty good. I mean,
we all saw it. They saw it in Cleveland, and Kevin Stefanski had this to say after watching what we're watching now.
And it looks like Miles has been working on his Euro step a little bit in the offseason. Are you cool with that? Are you okay with him playing basketball?
He retired. So congratulations on a great career for Miles. Really proud of him, but he's done.
Did you have to have that talk with him, Kevin?
He's retired.
I feel like it's more of like a Jordan retirement. You know, I went to baseball for a second, / I went to basketball for a second. And now I got to go back to what I'm good at, what I usually do, playing football, rush a passer, stop and run. The next season, you never know. You know, I might go back to basketball. I might go play baseball, see if I can get on a team. But like there's more on the horizon right now. I got to get back to what my main focus is. I think that last dunk was either reverse, double pump, or a windmill. So I had to go out with the bang.
Look, there's another element to this as well. It's one thing to see Myles Garrett playing basketball during the months when the offseason program
exactly.
is up and running.
Yes.
When you see this at a time when players are staying away
right.
from OTAs, and Cleveland is one of the teams that has experienced that, and we've got a place where you can come work out in a safe environment, and you're going to go down to Planet Fitness and or the Y or wherever he was
yeah.
and play basketball against you know a couple of Jamokes who would love nothing more than to test their mettle against Myles Garrett? No, that's how you get hurt. That's not a safe environment. It's too competitive, and you're doing it during a time on the calendar when we've got all these state-of-the-art facilities that you can come get in the right kind of shape for football season. So from end of season until
yeah,
April
right.
or during the 6 weeks coming up, it's one thing. But doing it when classes otherwise in session, right. I think that's the kind of thing that catches the attention of a coach.
Yeah, I think so. I think you're exactly right. I mean, there's just too many what-if circumstances. First off, I mean, even with that play right there, I mean, he's in traffic, he goes up, he dunks, you land on somebody's foot, sprain your ankle, break your ankle, foot, whatever. I mean, it's you know, season's over, or at least you're not coming back till late in the year. And I think your point, that was going to be my point. You're exactly right. There's a difference in, hey, I'm playing basketball in late January, February, and early March to get in shape. But now, hey, we're working out. It's football season. You're a professional, and it's officially the start of football season here. And we have workout regimens for you. And that's where I think it's that, like what you brought up. And then the last thing, too, like, yeah, you get this far. And, like, it's, hey, we're here. Cleveland, you've been crap. Bola for 20 years. The window is wide open. It's Super Bowl window time. Your team is good enough. It's here. The hell with basketball. So it's time to play football now. And I think that's probably got to be a little on Stefanski's mind too. Wait, we're in June. My team's real. I got one of the best offensive lines in football. One of the best offenses in football. The defense is improved. Myles Garrett was hurt last year or had the COVID, and it hurt our defense. And I think all of those things, they just think about it and go, okay, that's it. It's good for the year. See you next year.
Here's the other side of it, too. If we can cue up the video again of what we saw last week, it's one thing to go do it. It's another thing to turn it into a social media moment, which is what this clearly was. When you see the cut to the guy with the headband going, woo, boy. This was concocted, this was staged, this was a deliberate job by Myles Garrett to create a buzz and a viral moment. Clearly. Don't tape it. And don't go out there and do this saying, hey, you know, I want to make a great video that people are really going to like. Let's go have some fun. So it crosses the line in my mind from staying in shape to having one of these. And I understand this is the way the younger generation is. Look at me moments. Right. This was a look at me moment that was concocted, that was deliberate, and I think that makes it even more likely that a guy like Kevin Stefanski says, we don't need this. We are in a Super Bowl window.
Yeah.
Myles, everyone's impressed by you. They all saw how your biceps were about to rip out of your jacket when you announced a draft pick last month. We get it. You're an impressive physical specimen. You don't need to make some video of you slamming the ball through the hoop into some guy's head to convince people that you are an impressive physical specimen.
That's real, Mike. I think it's a great point by you. And it also, like, you know, stop it because you're encouraging other guys on our team to want to go out there and do stuff like that. So I think that's where you kind of try to nip it in the bud right there and just end that conversation. So I'm glad he's too damn good. He can be the NFL defensive MVP. He's that type of talent, you know. And I don't know, in my world of worlds, I guess I look at Aaron Donald as probably the best. I mean, is the best defensive player in football. Myles Garrett might be two for me if I had to really sort it out or something like that. You know, and he only got so many years to play football. He's in shape. Let's go. Let's kick some butt.
You've been pushing him as defensive player of the year the past couple of years. Yeah. Now he had the suspension in 2019, and also the Browns were the Browns that year. They underachieved in light of their expectations. Last year, it was a case of COVID that impaired Myles Garrett. Here he is from yesterday talking about how it affected him and how he's doing as he continues to recover from it.
I feel great. I feel the best I have since last year before COVID. And, it's a wonderful feeling, and I felt like it was kind of a long road. And now that I'm back, I'm feeling, you know, well conditioned and feeling back in my peak. You know, the world's ahead of me. I'm glad I've recovered, and you know, hope nothing like that happens to me or anyone else.
And hey, that's good news. But I've seen other players say that they saw what Myles Garrett dealt with, and it's prompted some of them to go get vaccinated.
Yeah,
or
sure.
To be more careful, or both. Because it does affect different people differently, and it seemed to affect Myles Garrett, Chris. And, yeah, you know, hey, the team is better. He is incredible, and he's got Jadeveon Clowney there this year. This could be a very special season for Myles Garrett.
No doubt. That's why I think they probably came to that realization with everything you said and all of that. And that's how could you not be excited about the Browns? I mean, really. I mean, really, they addressed, like, some of the issues that they had very few issues on their team all to begin with. I mean, just when it was defense, like, okay, yeah, we need a better corner. Oh, you got one in the first round. You need a linebacker that fits that Seattle scheme that's really fast. What? You got Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoa in the second round? Are you kidding me? I mean, one of the 20 best players in the draft. I think everybody agreed. Had that little heart murmur issue or whatever. That's why he fell to the second round. So they kill it there. And then they go, wait, we need one more, you know, just presence. Oh, Jadeveon Clowney, we got him in free agency. I mean, holy crapola, Batman. I mean, really, you look at that Browns roster, you know, with the John Johnson signing in free agency at safety, who's a hell of a player, and all of those type of things. You just go, show me the weak spots on their team. Where are they? They are really damn good, really well built. And it's just now, like, can they take that next step? Can Stefanski continue to grow the offense? You know, can Baker Mayfield take off where you know he left off last year? All of those type of things. But I'm very excited about Cleveland.
And when you're a Browns fan, you're always waiting.
You're on edge, right?
What's lurking around the corner, whether it's a Myles Garrett broken ankle playing basketball, or just this idea that the Chiefs have all their guys there for the offseason workouts. The Browns, who face Kansas City in Kansas City to start the season, don't. Myles Garrett was asked yesterday about whether he's got any concern regarding that discrepancy. Here's what he had to say in response.
Not at all. I'm glad they have attendance, but and just because they're getting work at their facility doesn't mean we're not working just because we're away. Our defense is getting work. Our guys are working on their craft just away from home. We have that freedom and that liberty. And when we get to game one, we'll see who has been gelling better and who's got the upper hand.
Yeah, look, this is one of the major flies in the ointment as it relates to this push by the union to get guys to not show up, because there will be competitive disparities. And even as we see some teams reducing the intensity, reducing the number of practices, getting away from different drills, the Patriots are still the Patriots. The Chiefs are still the Chiefs. You know, and
we don't hear anything from like we've talked about some of the other teams too. There's a lot of teams out there that kind of like quietly the attendance is really good, and we never heard one thing about it, and they're just chipping away at work.
And I wonder how much when September rolls around and we've got 16 games per week in most weeks to talk about, and the train keeps rolling and there'll be new storylines. Will others in the media go back and say, here are the teams that are doing well, here are the teams that are struggling, and these are the teams that had full-blown off-season programs, these are the teams that curtailed it, these are the teams that didn't have full attendance. Will there be a correlation? That's going to be an important exercise. So, Pete, you're the producer. Produce.
Keep track.
Future Pete, be aware and keep track, and let's see how that goes, because I think it's going to be an important point.
Definitely.
It's going to be interesting to see how it all fleshes out when it matters.
It's going to be important, you know, just as a fan of the sport, like what we do, talking points, anything like that, you know, all of that. But, I mean, the teams themselves are going to be paying attention. You know, they're going to be paying attention to, like, you know, the analytics here of, like, boy, we spent this much time in the building and had this many practices, and what were the results? And they'll go, you know, so on and so on with some of these teams that didn't practice or whatever. So not that there's a huge, huge great advantage that the Chiefs are in the facility and doing that. But there is an advantage. There's no doubt. You know, they're going to have some groundwork laid when they get into training camp to go, hey, remember when we were doing this at practice a few weeks ago and blah, 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 and we did this at the end of OTAs and the mini camps and all that? Hey, you know, as I was in the lab here, I thought about, let's add to this play that we did and did this play instead of that. And that's where you get a little bit of an advantage that way. And maybe some of the, you know, you get to practice some of the new curveballs, like we're talking about, the coaches might have for a new attack. The Chiefs, oh, we didn't have a short passing attack, and that's why we lost the Super Bowl. Maybe we should start working on it now. And I think that's where you get the advantages of the off-season stuff. It's not huge, but there's definitely an advantage.
And in Baltimore, one of the things they're working on in the laboratory is using Lamar Jackson in a way that he rarely, if ever, has been used before at the NFL level.
Yeah.
Under center, Greg Roman, the offensive coordinator of the team, who's been embattled based upon his failure to fully develop a robust passing game, he admitted yesterday in a conference call with season ticket holders that under center is going to be part of what they do, percentage of which I cannot state at this point. I don't know the extent of it. We're working on it and evaluating it every day. It's something we certainly will use from time to time, some games more than others. I believe it's a very important part in the development of a quarterback going forward. So, look, great, fine. Why haven't they done it in the first 3 years of his career then, Chris?
It's a good question. You know, hey, the NFL has gone into this shotgun phase. I think they're probably looking at it like, hey, he's a great athlete. Let's get him space. Let's get him away from the line of scrimmage. I really perked up when I heard this yesterday. The Ravens don't need a lot on offense to, like, you know, to change our minds. I mean, we already know it's a really damn good offense. We're probably a little critical at them at times. But, yeah, we want to see the passing game be able to carry them. There's no doubt. I think this is a sneaky way to do it. Little subtle change there. Subtle change, all right? And not like a huge drastic, like, oh, we got to reinvent the offense. Yep, zip it up. But we could still run our offense and create some different advantages with the quarterback under center. First off, bootlegs. Are you still laughing at subtle? Okay.
No, right. That's fine. But sorry, trying to be subtle.
Thank you. But bootlegs are going to be a different ball game now when you're underneath the center. You know, we've talked about this in the past. When you're in the shotgun, those linebackers, that safety that's in the box, there's a little bit easier. Oh, I can see the quarterback and the running back, and he's riding them, and yes, but the picture's clearer. Now think about, whoa, Lamar Jackson's turned his back, and I don't know if he gave the ball, and he's not far from the line of scrimmage, so I'm trying to see through offensive linemen and defensive linemen. Wait, did he have it? Did he give it, you know, to the running back from Ohio State? No. Oh, no, he's over there. He ran the bootleg. Uh-oh, he threw it. His guy's wide open. Or he turned the corner and ran for 50 yards. That's where I like it. Also with just a straight play-action pass, the same element. I mean, come on, Mike. Other than the Chiefs, every great offense we talk about in football kicks ass in the play action to pass department right now in the NFL. Sorry for my language, Liverpool. But that's really, you know, that's where I perked up when I heard that. I went, ooh, I like that. That's going to give some teams a few more issues of handling this running game and Lamar Jackson.
But when it comes to the play action pass, and I remember hearing Ron Jaworski explain this 10, 15 years ago, and it stuck with me. The difficulty for the quarterback of executing a play action pass, because you're under center.
Sure.
You sell the handoff, and to sell it, you got to completely turn your back to the defense.
Right.
And after you have pretended to hand off and turn back,
sure,
there's a different world on the other side
Definitely.
Of the line. Maybe one defensive end has sprung through. Maybe there's a guy who's coming up in the middle and he's about to get you. Maybe there's a guy that you thought was going to be open and he's got a safety that is lurking. And if you throw it, it's going to get picked off. You've got to completely reorient yourself.
You do.
That's a perspective Lamar Jackson's never had, Chris. Is that going to be a challenge for him? And how much of a challenge is it for any quarterback to see the defense, turn away, turn back?
Right.
Oh, where is everybody now?
Yeah, no, they're definitely a challenge, and it's definitely something you got to rep and get used to and those things. And, yes, when you come out of that play action fake, your point's real. You got to turn around, kind of reassess. Wait, did things stay the same or did they totally change? What is it exactly? But I think ultimately that risk is outweighed by the greater rewards of, wait, we faked the ball and now, oh, that, you know, yeah, you turned your back for a second, but Hollywood Brown screaming down the middle for a 70-yard post because that safety came up and got involved in the running attack or something like that. I just think there's more ways to be explosive on the offensive side of the ball, and teams have gotten so good and creative with the play-action passes that they've made it so simple for the quarterbacks to where it's a little different than the Ron Jaworski age. And here, I'm just going to give you a little, like, exercise here just right off the bat. Like, you look at the top 10 offenses in football from last year. Hey, we know the Chiefs and the Bills. Let's say they were 1-3. They didn't really use the play action underneath the center. They have freaky quarterbacks who just, they want to give them the shotgun and let them do their thing. But the Titans at 2, the Vikings at 4, the Packers at 5, the Buccaneers at 7, the Raiders at 8, you know, and I would even argue the Colts at 10 were all heavy play action pass type football teams. And at 11 and 12, you had the Rams and the Saints, who were also heavy play action. So it's the best way to create explosive plays. And especially with some of these young linebackers that are coming in the NFL, Micah, we've talked about before, where it's spread, it's college football. They're not used to pulling guard, fullback, running. Oh, wait, I got to get down there. This is crazy. I got to make that tackle. What? There goes Hollywood Brown on a slant route behind me. That's where I think the real great advantage is, and that's why I think you're seeing more and more teams do it.
Yeah, and look, it helps to have a great running team in order to pull it off. You start getting a defense on its heels.
Exactly.
And just for that split second of uncertainty, right, that's what it's all about. It's about injecting uncertainty into the defender who gets caught flat-footed thinking, all right, oh, it's a run. Oh, crap. And there goes the guy
exactly.
who's going to catch the long touchdown pass, right, whether it's Hollywood Brown, Rashad Bateman, or whoever. All right, let's take a break. Tom Brady, 8 months later, has finally admitted something that the rest of us knew immediately. We'll discuss that right after this on PFT Live.
Around any corner, within every battle, and with the dawn of each new day, the threat of the unexpected, the unpredictable, and the unrelenting lies in wait. But Marines will always be there. They are the constant in the chaos. No matter the battlefield, Marines adapt to win, defeating every shifting threat, protecting our nation's future. The few, the proud, the Marines.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
For the world's greatest athletes.
This is the showdown we've been waiting for.
There is nothing like competing on the world's biggest stage.
It's a world record again!
Goal for the United States! Unbelievable!
And when that stage is Paris, anything can happen.
I have never seen anything like this.
How about that?
An Olympics unlike any other.
What a performance!
The Paris Olympics, this summer on NBC and streaming on Peacock.
Hey Ben, historically, you've been pretty good throwing the deep ball over your career. Last year, not so much.
Well, I was going to say, Mark, you know, I had total reconstruction on my elbow. It might have something to do with it, but no excuses.
This is one of those where there's a disconnect between what you read and what you see. And I think he knows, you know what, you got me there.
Yeah.
No excuses.
Yeah, right.
I had a total reconstruction of my elbow. That's why I didn't throw the ball down the field. Hey, no excuses, folks. No excuses.
Well,
the new men's cologne brought to you by Ben Roethlisberger.
That's
oh, God. Well
wow.
done, EJ. It's like Tommy John, only different.
Oh, my gosh. That's hilarious.
Good. I think we need to send a bottle of that to Tom Brady. But he finally has no excuses, Chris. It took about 8 months for him to have no excuses. One of the most significant moments of the early regular season in 2020, the Thursday night game against the Bears. It's not fourth down. Here's Brady revealing that he truly was clueless in that moment.
You guys remember this one? Fourth quarter, last chance in Chicago. I thought it was the second to last chance in Chicago, but apparently not. I don't think I've ever been as confused as I am in this moment right here. Look at that face.
I love it when a guy can be self-effacing, self-deprecating. I really like that. But you know what? He wasn't that way at the time. There he is exiting the field without shaking Nick Foles' hands. Shades of Super Bowl 52. Look, he's a human. He's embarrassed. He's got an ego. Shocking. Tom Brady has an ego. But again, I don't know he gets credit for coming clean 8 months later. Let's hear what both Tom Brady and Bruce Arians had to say, Chris, about this at the time that it happened.
Yeah.
I don't care about it 8 months later.
Right.
Let's hear from Brady and from Arians from the time that it happened.
If
final play, you were, I mean, they made mention that maybe you didn't know it was fourth down. I can't imagine that was the case. What was, you know, it was fourth and five. You took a shot there with great.
Yeah, I knew we needed a chunk, and I was thinking about more yardage. And then, you know, it was bad execution. And we had a great opportunity there, so just didn't execute when we needed to.
It looked like Tom might have been confused with what down it was. Did he not know it was fourth down?
Yeah, he knew. He knew.
Yeah, he knew. Look, what's wrong? It's okay. We make mistakes. It's okay. Nothing wrong with admitting that a mistake was made. And again, it takes some of the, it's great. It's great to see him do it now, but it takes something out of it when you consider that thou shalt not mention that the great Tom Brady may not have known what down it was in the immediate aftermath of the game happening, Chris.
No, I know. I mean, yeah, I would have liked to have seen him be honest in the moment and just, yeah, I messed up, whatever. I I am a little shocked too, right? Like you see on social media, everyone's like, well, look, this is why I like him. He came clean. Like, no, that doesn't count as coming clean after, you know, the storybook was written and it happened to have a happy ending. Now it's easy to dive back and make fun of yourself. That's where I would want to question too. If they don't win the Super Bowl, right? There's no way he does that. There's no way. You never see that. You can have fun with it now because you won the Super Bowl, because you say, hey, everybody, kiss my butt. I got a big seventh ring and a Super Bowl trophy. So eat that. But I don't think he ever says that if that doesn't happen.
And let me tell you, if they had ended up missing the playoffs by one game, it never would have been mentioned ever again. Whenever he writes his memoirs, it never would have come up. Forget about that. We shall not discuss the moment that ultimately was the dagger for our hopes in 2020. So, it is easy to joke about it after you've won the Super Bowl. And as you're getting closer and closer to the night where there will be gathering somewhere to get ring number seven, will he show up to get ring seven with the other six?
I think so.
So he can, yeah, so he can do a little of that with all of them on there.
Why not? I mean, you've done it.
They're not Buccaneers rings.
I know. So what? You've done it every other year. You got a T-shirt that says your name and seven on it. So what? Show all seven. Damn, you're the only one that's got seven of them. So do it.
Will he put the new ring on a middle finger?
Probably. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. He might. He might do that. Yeah, just like send it up to like the Patriots organization. Like, hey, look what I found this year. I don't know, but Brady, like, you know, love his leadership, love the way he is in so many ways. But yeah, we've seen ego get the best of him, or maybe being a sore loser a little bit every
he's
now and then.
He's not a good loser.
Yeah, no doubt.
And maybe that's one of the reasons why he's won as much as he has. And again, this is something that we've discussed, and it really is a fascinating disconnect to me. Behavior and attitudes that we find objectionable in children and try to parent out of them. Why do you have to? You don't have to win all the time. Can you please stop? Stop cheating. No, you don't own Park Place. Your sister does, okay? You don't have to win every game of Monopoly. You don't have to win every game of Parcheesi. It doesn't have to be that way. We admire that behavior in athletes.
I know. You're exactly right. But it's the way we want them. We want our athletes to kind of be cutthroat, competitive. You know, we like to see that aspect. And especially when it becomes like that great player like a Brady, because then we start to dive deeper into like, ooh, the psychology of what made him and all of those type of things. That's where I think it kind of gets a life of its own a little bit there. But, hey, say what you want. Like Bruce Arians says, the greatest leader in the history of the sport, obviously one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. But yeah, I would have liked to have seen him be a little bit more, you know, truthful there when the time was real.
One thing that Nick Foles will always have and can't be taken away, no matter how far he is on the Bears depth chart or anyone else's, twice in his career, he humbled Brady to the point where Brady slinked off to the locker room without shaking Nick Foles' hands. Not once.
Yeah.
But twice.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
It is impressive. There's no doubt. I mean, Foles he's never been affected by the situation. That's for sure. I never looked at bad play or things like that to go, Foles is feeling the pressure. It's just not good. I just think, you know, he's just a good quarterback, not a great quarterback, and those type of things. But, yep, he's one of the few, right, that can kind of like have that pelt on his horse like, when I play Tom Brady, he loses and I win. That's a pretty cool thing to say to your grandkids.
I wonder if Bruce Arians has ever responded in practice to a bad throw by Tom Brady by making a comment like, what do I have to do, go trade for Nick Foles?
I bet
that's
you,
probably a line that even Bruce won't
I
cross.
Bet you Bruce, I don't think he would cross that one either. I bet you Bruce has plenty of things he could say if it's an underwhelming throw or he doesn't like it that are very witty. There's no doubt. Bruce, I don't even know him, but just being around him the few times we have real quick at like the combine and things like that, man.
He's awesome.
He's awesome. He's as quick as there is. I mean, you know, I think I've told the story before. I asked him one time, I said, you still got pictures over at that facility of me? And, you know, as he's walking off set, he goes, yeah, somewhere by the training room, and kept walking. I was like, yeah, that's an amazing comeback. Way to go.
all right, let's go ahead and take a break. We have been doing a tour of the various divisions by drafting the best non-quarterbacks. Today, we swing back to the NFC, moving from the West to the North. We'll do that when PFT Live continues right after this. All right. There is Aaron Jones' teammate, A.J. Dillon. How you like that save, Pete? Pete gave me bad information and said that's Aaron Jones. That's Aaron
Jones.
Well,
just look at his leg. It's not Aaron Jones.
That's Aaron Jones hiding in the quad muscle of A.J. Dillon. He's standing behind Aaron Jones. You can't see him. He's standing behind the right leg of A.J. Dillon. Best non-quarterbacks in the NFC North. That is today's draft. Chris, you got the trivia question. Go.
Oh, I do. That's right. Here we go. You ready? Oh, this one, I saw this earlier. This is easy. I mean, this is a little bit of like, what color is blue? Okay, here we go. The Lions, you uncovered the answer too quickly. All right, the Lions' last playoff win was the 1991 season. Who did they beat at home in that divisional round game?
Cowboys.
Yeah,
Cowboys.
Right. I know.
Cowboys.
Yeah, that was easy. You know, the Cowboys what? Beat the Bears. Right.
They beat the Bears the prior
in Chicago.
Week, which caused, yeah, that was the kind of spark to the new Cowboys dynasty because they were 1-15 just 2 years before that. That was kind of like, oh, the Cowboys are the up and coming team now. They won the Super Bowl the next year, the year after, and then 2 years after that. So, okay. The best players in the NFC North who are not quarterbacks. And do we have the rankings of
all the guys
top 10? We don't. Okay. All right. Fine. Fine. If that's what you want to do. Man, there's a lot of good players in the NFC North. I'm buying time here. I didn't think I would get the first pick. I am going to start with Khalil Mack, even though he was a little down last year. Look, quarterback's the most important position on the field. Pass rusher is number two. Khalil Mack, still one of the preeminent pass rushers in all of football. So I will get started with Bears pass rusher Khalil Mack.
Yeah, I mean, he's a stud. He's still a force. He's way better than people want to give him credit for. I know maybe he hasn't lived up to the huge contract totally and what the Bears traded for him. I understand that, but agreed. You know, I don't care. It might lack sex appeal. Khalil Mack is still one of the better defensive players in all of football there. So I'm not going to disagree with you much there. I am surprised, though, you didn't just go with Dalvin Cook. I'm going to go with Dalvin Cook, I think, to lead it off. I mean, damn, the team, the offense, it's situated around him. And, you know, he's arguably one of the most explosive players in football with the ball in his hands. He's definitely one of the five best running backs and a true running back. Bell cow guy that's not big like a bell cow. But I marvel at him. I do. Got three rockets up his butt, can make people miss, breaks tackles. We know he's going to get the ball 20 to 25 times every game, and he comes through. I'm a big fan of Dalvin Cook, so I'll go with him.
Well, look, if I would have gone with Dalvin Cook, you would have accused me of picking a Viking.
Yeah, of course I would.
So
have.
I can't win on this one.
No, you can't.
So I'll go ahead and pick a Viking because look, we saw it last year.
Yeah.
And one of the things that contributed to this implosion that's going on between the Packers front office and Aaron Rodgers is this guy wasn't on the board when the Packers were in striking distance to pick Justin Jefferson. Packers badly wanted him. Vikings got him. He broke Randy Moss's team record for receiving yards as a rookie. Pretty impressive there. And they didn't even realize what they had until week 3. He could have had two more games where he had big numbers, and who knows where he would have ended up. I think this guy is on the verge of exploding as one of the best receivers in all of football. Definitely one of the best players in his division already.
Good pick by you, all the way. I mean, yes, he's definitely, he's, I don't know. I mean, yeah.
It was a rookie record for the NFL. Thank you for correcting me, Pete.
Special player, though. Got it all.
Thank you, Pete.
Got no weakness at all, right? I mean, and that's where it's like, you look at what Justin Jefferson did, and I think that's where, like, the Ja'Marr Chase thing is really interesting, because everyone goes, whoa, Justin Jefferson, and he wasn't even as good as Ja'Marr Chase when they were on the same team together. What can that be? But, man, you found a beauty there with him. He is a baller. I love Justin Jefferson. All right. Well, I'm going to get the guy that covers him every now and then. You want to go Justin Jefferson? I need an island corner. I'm going with the best corner that no one really talks about, in my opinion. Like, a top five corner in football for Chris Sims, no question. But nobody talks about him like that. Jair Alexander.
Nobody's talking about him.
No.
Nobody's talking
about
him.
Nobody's talking about him. I am now. But I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Are people talking about him? I feel like he doesn't get put up there towards the top of corners in football. And I think he is one of them. You know, when I look at Jair Alexander, again, Mike, he's one of those guys that just go, wait, you cover him and we'll see how we'll figure it out over here. He's really special that way, you know, and he can play a bump man to man. He's rare and he can play off. And he's not just good in man. He's really great at zone. Even for a smaller guy, he's feisty and tackles. Like, I love Jair Alexander. I think he's one of the most underrated football players in the league.
Yeah, and I agree with you. And they got to find a way to pay him and keep him around.
Yeah, right.
Part of the reason why they need to solve this Aaron Rodgers thing. They need to know where they're going to have cap dollars to spend on guys like Alexander, but they need to keep him. They got a winner with him, and I agree. They need to hang on. All right, I gotta stay at the receiver position. You know, Devontae Adams.
Yeah, I know
what trouble you got in last year when you left him off of your top 10.
Right.
I'm not going to get accused of failing to give Devontae Adams the proper respect when you don't have a lot of help around you at the position.
Yeah.
And you're the guy who's going to attract all the attention and you still get it done. And I know Aaron Rodgers putting the ball in the perfect spot every time helps, but you still got to run the routes. You got to catch the pass. You got to have the trust of Aaron Rodgers. Devontae Adams, one of the best receivers in football, one of the best players in the conference.
Yeah, no doubt about it. There's no doubt. I was wrong to not put him in the top 10. I mean, I'll tell you, I self-scouted myself. I would realize that
was
wrong.
Is he number 11 like Matt Ryan?
Well, yeah, somewhere right, somewhere in there. Like, I guess, I don't look at Devontae Adams as one of the five best receivers in football, but I look at him as one of those 6 through 10. But he's awesome, and he has great value, and I think you kind of described it perfectly too. Without another weapon to ever focus on, he's kind of the guy, and that does put more pressure on him. So good job. All right, I'm going up to your squad here. You know, there's some guys on that defense there that we haven't talked about yet. I'm going to go with the middle linebacker guy. I still think Eric Kendricks is, you know, I know he was banged up a little last year. I can't even remember what the injury was off the top of my head, Mike. But
Hamstring,
that's what it was. But, man, one of the best in the business. No doubt about it. You know, just put him in the middle. Tell him to go get the football. He can fly. He's great in pass coverage. I mean, for me, he is like, he epitomizes the modern-day NFL middle linebacker, and he's important to Zimmer's scheme, and he's extremely talented. I mean, he's one of the best in football.
I'm going to stay in Green Bay with my next one, even though he's coming off that torn ACL. He's already back on the practice field, which is impressive. David Bakhtiari.
Good for you, yeah.
Key ingredient to that offense. They made him the highest paid offensive lineman in football history back in October-ish. Trent Williams got him by just a little bit, and it really isn't a better deal. It's some shenanigans contractually to get it there. Bakhtiari encouraging that he's back on the field, and maybe he'll be ready to go week one. He had that fluke practice ACL tear late in the regular season, but he still continues to be one of the best linemen in football.
Yeah. And I mean, really, I could sit here, and we could sit here right now, and we can go back and watch the NFC Championship game, and I go, I don't know. If they have Bakhtiari, they might win. Shaq Barrett might not get 3 sacks in that game and do that. Who knows what happens? Maybe Rodgers converts one of those third downs late in the third quarter, you know, that he got sacked on because of Shaq Barrett. So, yeah, he's one of the best in the business. All right, I'm going to go with a big guy in the Bears, Akeem Hicks. Akeem Hicks, you know I love me some Akeem Hicks. He's big, he's mean, he's nasty. He lets you know about it. Like, remember what he did to Dalvin Cook last year in that Bears game at home where he's like, he hit Dalvin Cook early on. He like let him know, like, I'm coming. I'm going to kick your butt all day long. I love that. He's one of the best big guys in all of football. And I think he is going to have a great year this year because Eddie Goldman's back at nose tackle. So now he can get back to his 3 and 5 technique where he's most comfortable and be dominant. I love Akeem Hicks.
You know, we've made it through 4 rounds without a single member of the Detroit Lions. I've got a few I'm considering. Yesterday when we did the AFC North, I went with a couple of rookies. We got to go Penei Sewell. Hey, if the guy is good enough to get Brad Holmes, the GM of the team, to pound on the table in celebration when they got him with the 7th overall selection in the draft, he needs to be on the list. And now they're working him on the right side, which he is learning is an adjustment. But still, I think he's going to be part of this key part of this effort to change things finally for the Detroit Lions, Chris.
Yeah, I agreed. I mean, yeah, I don't give a damn. He's going to be one of the better all linemen in football. You got Frank Ragnow, too, who you could have thought about, right, on that offensive line, too.
You still got a pick.
I know. I'm going to go Allen Robinson, Bears. I mean, come on. The guy gets like 1,200 yards receiving. We don't even know who the hell the quarterback was throwing to him. He's damn good. So he's going to make my list.
We're going to wrap up this Thursday edition of PFT Live right after this.
Dream, I'm not sure how much you've seen of Drew and Teddy so far without a lot of 11-on-11 work, but what are your initial impressions and kind of as a defensive player, how do you go about a quarterback competition? How much do you pay attention to it? And maybe what do you expect?
I mean, whoever's the quarterback, whoever's the quarterback. I wish the best for Teddy. Wish the best for Drew. I don't know what they're doing. I can't see anything. I haven't been over there. So it is what it is on that part.
If you didn't notice, there was a certain four-letter profanity that was omitted. I don't give a bleep.
Yeah, right. I'm sick of talking about quarterbacks.
Plenty of Bears fans do, Chris. I have an important update. I am told that as we surmised, based upon the words of Andy Dalton, he has been told he's the week one starter. So go make your bet now. Dalton, week one starter against the Rams. Take those odds before they change. That's it. Have a great day,
See ya.
Chris.
Work hard tomorrow, weekend. Mike. See ya. I'll be off. See ya.